we were talking a little bit earlier about spirit and opportunity and why that was such a big deal and why that's another chapter and so forth. And I almost mentioned it then, but I found this lurking in the back of my mind. There was a conversation, and this was not an attempt to name drop. It's more of a, just to put it in context. I got to know Neil Armstrong pretty well during the course of time I was at NASA. And then thereafter, stayed in touch with him until, you know, unfortunately, they passed away. And a fellow I saw fairly regularly, you know, several times a year kind of thing. And I recall vividly one conversation in which he was right after the Spirit and Opportunity. And, oh, I'm sorry, I should insert that. And I called him sparingly when I was at NASA because he was really very much a private guy and he just didn't like to be showcased and that kind of thing. But when it was something meaningful that he could contribute to something, he would readily step up to it. So I selected the occasions and the circumstances and the events that I thought that would be really, really very much a write down the wavelength of his background. And people, I think, are appreciating a little more about Neil Armstrong's personality and, you know, he approached things and how disciplined he was with things like First Man, you know, a few other some great books that have been out there about him for couple of years now. But a very private guy. This is not somebody who was, he always went out of his way at any award ceremony or anything that went on to say, oh no, this isn't about me. I was just a lucky guy that got to be the one that had the chance to do this. There was a whole bunch of people that made this possible. And this is a testimonial to all the effort that all those folks, that legions of them, put into making something like this happen. In anything he did, when he was a test pilot, when he was, you know, the Apollo 1, you know, Apollo 11 crew member, all that, the commander of the mission. And so we were talking about spirit and opportunity. They had just landed and lots of information's coming back. And he said to me, he says, boy, you guys know a whole lot more about Mars than we ever did about the moon. Hmm. And I said, how do you figure that? I said, you know, we're just getting started. He said, no. He said, there was an occasion where before the Apollo 11 mission, all the missions that led up to it, and the, you know, the go-go period of the Apollo era in which we had to demonstrate each of the phases and all this stuff in order just to make it technically feasible to land. He said there was one particular debate that was impossible for anybody to say with any certainty what would happen. And that was at the point in which Eagle would land, there was a very strong theory and lots of evidence to support it that the composition of the lander itself, the titanium legs and anything else, would become magnetized at least sufficiently to have the condition where the lunar dust on the surface of the moon would adhere to the legs of the lander such that it would add additional weight. And the weight calculation was so precise that if you had too much more weight, you wouldn't be able to depart. And so he said all these lunar scientists were just in this frenzied argument over the fact that, oh no, you know, as soon as this thing lands, you're going to get all this, you know, lunar dust all over the damn thing, and it's going to weight it all down, and we're going to have a one-way trip, you know, for every crew that goes. This is going to be horrifying, you know, we can't afford to do this. And they went through lots of theories, and they debated every variation of it, and he sat through several of them, he told me, where he'd sit in, you know, in the conference room, listen to these guys just beat each other over the head, arguing about their, you know, alternative theories. And he said, you know, a few days before Apollo was to launch, he says, I finally got up from the conference table. I said, look, I'll let you know how it comes out when I get back. He said, we didn't know. We just did not know whether there was anything to this. And as it turned out, there wasn't. Or at least they were able to mitigate it. But he says, one absolute set of results will overrun 1,000 theories every time. And you've got to keep going out there to keep adding to the knowledge base of what you need to know in order to understand what you're about to get into. And this is the risk of exploration we talked about. And I was, spinning the yarn about it, which is that it is the greatest challenge that we have as humans to reconcile is when you don't know much about it, your fears will absolutely overwhelm any other rational thought. But as soon as you get one, baseline of understanding a fact, you're then able to transcend that and move on to the next challenge. And that's what exploration is really all about. And he understood that in a way that it hit me like a bolt out of, of lightning. I felt like I was on the road to Tarsus. I said, I get it, and this is it. And he says, you guys know a whole lot more about Mars. You don't know enough to actually go there, with anybody yet, but you know a whole lot more about it than we ever did when we landed on the moon.
Yeah, wow.
You scratch your head and say, damn, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
And we're less reliant on, these people who are just, devil may care kind of attitude that we seem to ascribe to them. They're anything but. Mm-hmm. Guys like Neil Armstrong were hardly just, irresponsible risk takers. This was a guy who was very methodical, very, very calculating in what he did, how he understood it, and engaged in the things he did in a way that he was fully prepared, fully strapped in for everything he thought he knew. And then all the things you don't know, what do you do from there? He says, you've just cut down the list of things you don't know. That's the best definition of exploration you'll ever hear.
Wow.
He was really quite a remarkable human being, in addition to being an amazing fellow who was the first person to ever step on the moon, which was a big deal all by itself. But he wore that particular moniker with great humility and great modesty, because he knew that he was just one part of it and was just a lucky guy that had the opportunity to go forward and do it. And that's what all this is all about.